Let's turn to 1 Samuel 28 this morning. First Samuel 28, page 295. David has decided he's no longer safe in the land, and he flees to the Philistines, back to Achish, king of Gath, who gives him a piece of property on the western edge of the promised land in Ziklag. And there he's hiding out, following, sadly, more his common sense than the Lord at this moment. But the Lord will bring him back in chapter 29. And the Lord interrupts the programming, reporting on David's escapades out in Philistia to let us know what's happening in Saul's life. 1 Samuel 28. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers, those who have communication with the dead, that's what a necromancer is, the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. The Philistines assembled and came and camped at Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there's a medium at Endor," or a witch. So Saul disguised himself and put on other garments and went, he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, "Divine for me by a spirit and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you." The woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death?" But Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" He said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What do you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I see a God coming up out of the earth." He said to her, "What is his appearance?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he's wrapped in a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel. And he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" Saul answered, "I'm in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do." And Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines." Then Saul fell at once full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul, and when she saw that he was terrified, she said to him, "Behold, your servant has obeyed you. I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to what you have said to me. Now, therefore, you also obey your servant. Let me set a morsel of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." But his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he listened to their words. So he arose from the earth and sat on the bed. And the woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly killed it. And she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread of it. And she put it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. This is God's word. May he bless us. May he build us by it. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, here we have the darkest chapter in Saul's life. It's the last night of his life. Tomorrow he's going to die in battle. It's one of the saddest chapters in the Bible. Saul visits a witch for guidance, because there's no room for the Lord's word in his life. He visits a witch for guidance, a medium. And Saul is reaping the consequences of his rebellion. He has spent many years now rejecting the word of the Lord. And when you turn your back on the word of the Lord and you shut your ears and your heart to what he has to say, that can't end anywhere good. It will plunge you into deep darkness. And the older you get, the darker your life will become spiritually. If you go your own way, brothers and sisters, and follow your own dreams and seek your own glory and your own pleasures, this is how it will end for you. But the Lord's calling you in this chapter out of the darkness to turn to David, or the greater than David, to Christ, because that's where the hope is. That's where the future is. That's where the word of the Lord is. That's where true guidance is. There's always hope. Always hope in Jesus, even in the darkest moments. I call this chapter Into the Darkness because the beginning and end of the chapter speak of night. Verse 8, Saul went to visit the witch at night. And the last verse, he left the home of the witch at night. It feels like Judas Iscariot, doesn't it? Much later, and on the last night of his life, after supper, like Saul after supper, went out, and it was night. Night into the darkness. Listen to Jesus calling you to his light. Into the darkness, we read here, Saul seeks a dark source for divine guidance. Saul seeks a dark source for divine guidance. Secondly, God gives him a dark word of divine light. And thirdly, he goes out into a dark night of divine power. God is at work. God is at work for his kingdom and glory. Those who reject God fall into a pit of deep darkness. But those who seek God are brought out of darkness into light. And that's what we want to see here. With God's help. First then, Saul seeks a dark source for divine guidance. He is in a desperate situation. Saul is in a crisis. And when you have the Lord, you have a place to go. But when you're without the Lord and you're in a crisis, you are really, really stuck. Look at that crisis. First of all, the Philistines. Verses 1 and 4, the Philistines have gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. They're camping at Shunem, and Saul is overwhelmed by the sight of them all. He is scared out of his wits. He's scared that he's going to die. He's scared he's going to lose the kingdom. He is scared. The second problem, part of this crisis, verse 3, Samuel is dead. He's buried. He's gone. Can no longer go to Samuel's house and knock on his door and look for guidance, look for help, look for wisdom. What shall I do? Samuel's gone. I know he hasn't listened to Samuel throughout most of his life as a king, but now he needs him. Where is Samuel when I need him? And the third crisis, the deepest part, verse 5 or verse 6, God's silence. Saul inquired of the Lord. He sought for the Lord's guidance through dreams, through the Urim, through a word from the prophets. There's nothing. Silence. The Lord has nothing for Saul. Remember what God or Samuel told Saul earlier. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you. Because you've rejected God as your king, the Lord has rejected you as king. Silence. And brothers and sisters, the problem is not that God won't hear Saul. The problem is that Saul won't hear God. God has confronted Saul over and over and over, but Saul has never repented. He's made excuses. He has cheap regrets because of how it hurts him. But he goes on and on and on in his rebellion. What happens, brothers and sisters, when you hear the word of the Lord, the Bible says, and keep rejecting it. Every time that word hits you and you reject it, it creates a callus. The callus gets harder and harder and harder. Until God doesn't break through anymore. He went on and on and on his rebellion. He knew that David was the Lord's chosen king, but he's out to kill him anyway. I'm going to undo the Lord's will. I'm going to win. Guy's insane. But that's the blindness of a rebellious heart, right? You do what doesn't make sense. So through his own unbelief, he had opened the door to the spirit of Antichrist. And that spirit fills him now. But you might say, Saul is repenting. He's seeking the Lord. No, he's not. He's looking for guidance. He wants the Lord to tell him what to do, but he's not. See, he doesn't want the Lord in his life. Not at all. He's not repenting. He's just stuck. We've called that here before emergency religion. I don't want the Lord, but when I'm stuck, I'll ask him for some help. I want some help, but I don't want the Lord in my life. This is where Saul is at. I want some help. I want some guidance. Tell me what to do, Lord. But I don't want to follow you. I don't want the Lord in my life. What's proof that he's not repenting? His response when the Lord doesn't answer. He doesn't repent. I'll go to a witch then. If I can't get an answer from heaven, I'm going to go get an answer from hell. Sad. And he goes for a witch. Is there a medium in the land? He hands himself over to the powers of darkness to get guidance, to try to save himself and protect and preserve himself and his own kingdom that he's trying to build for himself. I'm going over to the dark side. That's what he does. And it reminds us of what Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel 15 when Saul disobeyed God's word in the battle against the Amalekites. Remember, and spared King Agag and spared the best of the flocks and the herds against the word of the Lord. That Samuel says to him at that time, rebellion is as what? The sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15, 23. The rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Like if you don't want the word of the Lord, you are open to any kind of dark lie out there from the pit of hell, including witchcraft. And now that proves true. This is the end of the road for the rebel. God is silent. God is silent. And Saul then turns to a witch, verse 7. Saul said to his servants, seek out for me a woman who's a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Find me a witch. And his servant said to him, behold, there's a medium at Endor. Now we've already been told that Saul had banned spiritists and mediums and necromancers from the land because it was against the word of the Lord. Let me read you a couple of passages. Why they're against the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy 18, 10 and 11. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering. There shall not be among you anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. Saul obeyed that command. And he sent out the mediums, the witches, the spiritists from the land. He banned them. But now in a pinch, he goes against what he knows is wrong. The Bible says it's better not to have known the Lord and his truth than to have known it and then turn back to the sin that you knew was wrong and become overcome by it, entangled in it and overcome by it. Your end will be worse as a result than before. Isaiah 8, 19 and 20. Listen to this word about witches. And when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? No, to the word and to the testimony. If they will not speak according to this word, it's because they have no dawn. The Bible says, if you go to mediums and spiritists who mutter and chirp, you're going to a place where there's no dawn, there's no light, darkness. You're going out into the dark night. Go to the word and the testimony of God. That's where the light is. Saul wants guidance from God, but he doesn't want God. What a terribly frightening spot to be in, to turn your back on the Lord persistently, to refuse him as your king, to reject his word. And then what are you going to do when you're in a crisis? Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, when Israel's complaining, the Lord doesn't hear us. They're living in sin. They're rebelling against the Lord. They're not repenting. And then they're complaining, the Lord doesn't hear us. Isaiah says, it's not because the Lord's ear is dull that he can't hear you. He's not sleeping. He's not deaf. It's because your sins have separated you from your God so that his ear will not hear you. It's not that he can't hear you. It's that he will not hear you. Because you're living in rebellion, living in sin. I say to you this morning, if the heavens are as brass above you, and there's no contact between you and God is dead to you, the problem is not that the Lord can't hear. The problem is that you will not listen. And don't wait till the day of your death after your Last Supper. That may be too late. If you repent now and ask God to forgive your hardness and rebellion and your refusal to listen to the Lord, then those hard calluses on your heart will become soft and they'll become new. And the heavens will open for you. And the blessings of the Lord will rain down on you. Maybe you feel right now that God is silent in your life. I tell you, if you stand by faith in Christ, it might feel like God's not answering you. It might feel like God's far away, but he's not. He's close. He's never, never far away from you. He's near to all those who call on him in truth. And sometimes believers are in that sort of spot. Lord, why are you so far away from me? Why have you turned your face away from me? That's the believer. They can experience that, but the light is still there, even when you can't see it. But Saul's in a different spot of rebellion without repentance. He's not standing by faith in Christ. Well, if you're living in sin and are fighting with God, with everything you have, and you know God doesn't hear you, there's a remedy. It's found in Jesus Christ. Repent and turn to the Lord, and he will hear you. He'll wash you. He'll save you. And your life will become changed. Well, we see, secondly, Saul gets an answer. He gets an answer from the Lord. It's a dark word of divine light. A witch was found at Endor, handy for Saul. Apparently not all of them had been killed or banished from the land. Saul disguised himself, and he came to the woman at night, and he commands her. Verse 8, divine for me by a spirit, and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you. Get me guidance by a spirit, by somebody speaking on the other side of the dead. And verse 9, the witch suspects a trap. This is a sting operation. She doesn't know it's Saul. You're trying to find out the rest of the witches so you can get me too. Saul says, no. I'll protect you. Don't worry. What do you want? I want Samuel. Bring up Samuel for me. And suddenly there he is. She has successfully channeled him into the room. Or has she? I see a God coming out of the earth. He's there in some ghost form and talks to Saul. You can imagine this passage causes a lot of discussion, a lot of disagreement. Is this really Samuel? Or is this just God talking through the medium? Is this just Saul's delusion that he imagines Samuel talking to him? It's really Samuel. It's really Samuel. The Bible says so. And it's really Samuel talking and giving him the word of the Lord. The Bible says so. But the witch hasn't conjured him up. She's shocked that he's there. The Lord is in control of the forces of darkness. And like he can make Moses and Elijah appear on the Mount of Transfiguration, he makes Samuel appear in his own miraculous way to talk to Saul and bring him a true word, but a word of judgment. But it's light still. Matthew Henry puts it this way in his commentary in 1 Samuel. God permitted on this one occasion the soul of a departed prophet to come as a witness from heaven, thus sending him to confirm the word he had spoken on earth. Samuel just gave him the same word that he had given him on earth. Well, brothers and sisters, the forces of darkness are real. The forces of darkness are real. It's the source of lies. It's demonic. It's powerful. And we should never, ever play with it. Not with psychic fairs or hotlines. Not with tarot cards or palm readings or with Ouija boards and horoscopes. I know God intervened in this particular case when Saul sought the powers of darkness to give him guidance. God intervened, but the only way to get in touch with God is through Jesus. Don't tap into the forces of darkness. The Bible's very clear on that. They will destroy you. And yet God is in control here. And Samuel says to Saul, "Why have you called me up?" Saul says, "I'm in great distress. The Philistines are warring against me, and God doesn't answer me anymore. And I need help. I need you to tell me what to do." Verse 15. I need you to tell me what to do. Look at verse 16. Look very carefully at verse 16. What's Samuel's answer? "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy?" Saul, your problem isn't the Philistines. Your problem is that you're fighting against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are not going to win. You're not going to win. You've made the Lord your enemy, Saul, and you need to turn to him and get right with him. That's your distress. That's your real problem. Saul wanted guidance. He wanted help, but he didn't want the Lord. And so there'll be no word from the Lord for Saul other than a word of judgment. And that's exactly what Saul received. Look at verses 17 through 19. The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. You will lose this battle. You and your sons will join me in the grave tomorrow. And that's what's so utterly, utterly sad about this passage. Saul wants a foot in both kingdoms. I want to live my own life. I want to go my own way, and I still want the Lord to bless me and guide me. I still want his help when I'm in a pinch. That we already referred to that as emergency religion. When people don't want the Lord, they want to live for themselves and still expect God to come through for them when they're in a bind. Isn't it amazing that we can be there? I want to live my own life. I want to oppose the Christ. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to listen to the Lord, but the Lord sure better be there for me when I need help. And he's not. He's not. Except to judge. This is the dark word of divine light to Saul and all those who oppose God. If you expect God to be for you when you oppose him, you're living a massive self-deception. How about you? How about me? Am I living against God? Am I refusing to follow Christ? Am I refusing to obey the Lord? And still expect him to be for me in the day of trouble and for me in the day of judgment? Not going to happen. Don't be deceived, says the Bible. The wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Unless we repent, we too will perish. But even here, the Lord is merciful by giving a word to Saul on the last night of his life. One more chance to say, David is going to be the next king. If you repent and you leave your throne and submit to Christ, the Messiah, who's really ultimately going to end up on the throne, your life will be blessed, Saul. Sadly, that's not where Saul goes. We see, thirdly, the dark night of divine power. How does the chapter end? It's shocking. A supper. A supper. It's such a mysterious ending to the seance. This is Saul's last supper. But it's not the Lord's supper. He's fellowshipping with a witch. He is eating at a table of demons, to use the language of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. Paul says to the Corinthians who are trying to live with a foot in two kingdoms, the kingdom of Christ and eat the Lord's Supper at church, and the kingdom of idols and participate in pagan feasts during the week, because that's what it took to get jobs, to get contracts. And he's saying you can't eat both at the table of the Lord and the table of demons. You can't fellowship with the powers of light and the powers of darkness. But that's what Saul's doing here, or trying to do, but he's really eating only at one table. Now, Saul's torn here. He's not comfortable being here, right? He's disguised. He's there at night. And the witch says, verses 21 and 22, she makes a proposal. I obeyed you and worked up this seance for you. Now you obey me and eat the meal I prepare for you. She's calling him to fellowship. And he refuses flatly. No. He knows he's blatantly fighting the Lord if he has table fellowship with a witch. But his will is so weak after choosing sin over and over in his life. And if you keep choosing sin in your life, every time you choose sin, your will to fight it gets weaker and weaker. And as soon as a little pressure is put on Saul from his servants and the witch, come on, he gives in. Okay, I'll eat. The opposite is also true. Every time you choose against sin for the Lord, your strength from the Lord to fight sin also gets stronger. We're always weak in ourselves, but our reliance on the Lord, and our connection to Him and our being strengthened by Him moment by moment increases. Choose sin once and your conscience screams at you. Choose sin over and over again and your conscience hardly whispers anymore. And then verse 25b, they arose and went away that night. He went out and it was night. A terrifying, horrifying story. If your heart is with Saul and you're refusing to obey the Lord and insisting on walking in your own way, not wanting to submit to God's word, you have every word reason to be terrified. You should be scared out of your wits. You're going to die and go to hell because you're living in the darkness. Don't let yourself get to the point where your heart becomes so hard to God that His heart turns against you and He won't give you repentance anymore. Don't let yourself get there. You may know, no matter how deep your darkness has become, while there's life, there's hope. If you call upon His name in truth and you look for Him now, I want to give my life to You now. I hate myself in my sin now. I want You. I give up on myself. He will not turn you away. This is part of a bigger story. God is removing Saul out of the way. Tomorrow it's going to happen, 1 Samuel 29. And He's going to pull David out of his spot of sin. But thankfully, by God's grace, David's heart is still with the Lord. And he lives a repentant life of faith. He's going to pull David out of the Philistines' land and set him up on the throne. God is calling us here away from the way of Saul, to put our trust in His King, His Shepherd. Not David, as we've seen his weaknesses, but the one that David is pointing to as a prophet of, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. And God is saying, don't walk the way of Saul, rejecting the Lord, listening to sin, walking in the way of darkness. Follow my way. Listen to my true shepherd. Follow David's son, Jesus Christ. And then, no matter how much darkness you may experience, you may know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the true shepherd of our souls, entered into the night, the darkness for us, and was destroyed by it on the cross, and then rose again in power, and now lives and reigns, and in Him your darkness is turned into light. Let me read a couple of verses. Psalm 18, 27 and 28. You save a humble people, but the haughty eyes You bring down. For it is You who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. He does. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. And what Jesus said, John 8, 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's where God's road goes. Through Jesus, David's son, the man of God's choosing, you have fellowship with God. Your fellowship with the light of eternal life. Go to Him. Follow Him. Trust in Him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is a way of darkness we can choose. And it may seem good to us at the time, but now you show us clearly how that ends. What devastation, what fright, what horror, what desolation, what emptiness, what isolation, what abandonment. Lord, help us not to choose this for ourselves, but by your grace, help us to choose your way, your light, your son, David's greater son. Father, we pray that you will give us grace to trust in you, to follow your word, to believe your promises, to love all that you say. For with you, there is light. We pray that you will light our lamps and take us out of darkness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.